If you're an entrepreneur looking to start a business creating and selling NFTs, it's important to have a solid foundation of knowledge before you dive into this new market. If you're an entrepreneur, I would say that, you know, this is something that is really new to you. You guys should actually go and watch this. And like what Anuj Jasani said, people don't understand NFTs, metaverse, and crypto today the same way they didn't understand online shopping in 1995. Well, if you have been wondering what NFT is all about, then this episode is for you. Hi, my name is Rayson, your host for The Regacy Show. And before we introduce today's guest, let's thank our sponsor for this episode, CryptoBanks. CryptoBanks is a Singapore NFT project that celebrates all things uniquely +65, which is the area code for Singapore. And they always have this tagline that says that stay real, stay what. Their collection includes utility-enabled collectibles that depict a variety of local Singaporean culture inspired traits as seen through the team's eyes. Members of the CryptoBanks, Genesis, and Crypto Khakis, which I'm really grateful and proud to be in, have access to exclusive airdrops, merchandise drops, premium merchant partnerships, and community events. And their foundation is built on community and utility. So each CryptoBanks NFT unlocks access to the CryptoBanks business utility ecosystem, which is a home that you guys can call your own. All right, so without further ado, let's introduce these two amazing founders for this CryptoBanks and this episode. All right, so these two amazing gentlemen that I feel is like how I was back then when I was 24 years old, when I just started out and everything else. I when I met them, I felt this amazing vibe from them. And these two amazing individuals are none other than Faris and Rose. Co-founder of CryptoBanks and Earth So Good NFT, Faris is an NFT builder who passionately believes in the utilities and applications of using NFTs in his project. Their Genesis collection has sold out, and since then, they have established utility partnerships with over 20 merchants in Singapore, and they have been featured in MetaJam Asia 2022. Whereas for the other co-founder, Rose is a fervent believer in the use cases and future applications that the Web3 space can provide. Rose became an avid student of the startup world as he ventured into the industry with CryptoBanks. So currently, he is part of another startup and is always down to build projects. Well, with that said, let's welcome these two amazing individuals into the house. Woohoo! All right, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Faris, wow. It's really my honor and pleasure to have you guys, man. It's, you know, been something that we always wanted to have. Back in August, we've discussed this and we were planning it, and today we are together talking about NFT and all this amazing, amazing other stuff that you guys are building. So how have you guys been, man?
Been good, man. Yeah, I've been busy keeping myself very busy with Rose.
All right, that's great, that's great. And how about yourself, man, Rose?
I mean, you know, as the saying goes, there's no rest for the wicked, right? And only the wicked and crazy people will actually go on to build what they want to build. Yeah, it's a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of late night calls with my brother, Faris. Life is good, life is good. I mean, this is how we want to keep it, like, busy as always.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, like, especially during this pandemic, and also at the same time, you guys have been so active in the NFT space, especially I've seen NFT in terms of the Twitter. You guys have been talking a lot about NFT and going on to ask me anything kind of stuff. You know, I was like, man, these guys, they are blowing up the NFT space in Singapore, man. You, whoever do not know Singapore's NFT, like CryptoBanks yourself, well, will be a shame. So I was like, wow, you guys are doing a great job, and keep it up. Keep it up, man.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're most welcome.
Thank you so much.
So can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Rose, you want to go first?
Oh, sure. So a little background about myself was I used to study architecture. And I liked building stuff, literally. Like, you know, I was very into construction and the aesthetics of buildings and how us humans, we are part about of urban dwelling and all. And then when I went to actually intern at this company, it's a very big company, I enjoyed my internship, I enjoyed my experience, but this is where I realized, like, oh my God, this is not what I want to do for the entire rest of my life, you know? So with that confusion, I went to NS, and soon after NS ended, National Service, I came out, I enrolled into Kaplan, and I enrolled into banking and finance. I told myself, I want to know the ins and out of the finance world. And that's when me, Ferris, and our other team, our co-founder, we started CryptoBanks. And that really set a new direction into what I think my career is. And now I think myself and Ferris, we can say that we are building a lot of stuff on the Web3.
Nice, nice. How about you, Ferris?
So I'm Ferris, you know, I'm 24 years old. I was in Singapore Polytechnic. I was studying nautical studies. I wasn't a very good student, honestly. I didn't get good grades. Probably only my final semester, I woke up and I did pretty well. But when I graduated, I didn't have much time before I got into National Service. Throughout my entire National Service, I had this idea, okay, I will go back to sea and I'll become a sailor, you know, sail for 10 years, become a captain, and work in an office till the day I die. And something struck me when I was in army, and I start realizing that this isn't the life that I want to live. I want to live an amazing life. I want to live an extraordinary life. And the only way I can do that, I feel, is that if I got into entrepreneurship or finance. And so with the time I had when I was in National Service, I was a clerk, ASA in army. So it gave me a lot of time to read up on finance books. And I really wanted to, for some reason, to join like a hedge fund or something. But I had no idea how to do that. And so I somehow started taking exams for insurance. And then I became an insurance advisor, insurance agent for a bit. And at the same time, we realized that the NFT market was taking off. So for fun, we just like, hey guys, let's just create this project. You know, I got burned by buying a lot of NFTs that had no value, no purpose, no use case. And we thought, why not we make a project of our own that has use cases for it and has everything that we want in a project. And then fast forward here today, I'm not doing insurance anymore, but we are doing Web3 full time. So Rose and I, we have a Web3 tech startup going on, as well as our project with our two co-founders, Denzel and Freya as well.
Okay. Oh, nice. Wow. Life is pretty interesting. Huh? You guys always thought that, oh, I wanted to be a sailor, I want to do this and that, and then next moment you guys got to meet one another and then get to do something together as a project. And now it's like, man, I see a lot of fruits coming in. The results are growing and it's really, really impressive. So before we dive into the main focus of interview, right, our listeners would like to get to know you a bit better. So can you tell us a bit about backstory on how you two get to know each other and how you guys ended up founding CryptoBanks?
Ferris, you want to say how we met for the first time?
Oh, okay. So actually, Rose and I have been like best friends since 2016. We met in Singapore Polytechnic. We met in the club room, actually. So just one day, I was just chilling, and then I see this guy just come in, and he looked very different last time. He was very, like, he was very skinny and very playful and jumpy. He had a full head of hair. and I was like, okay, this guy is funny. So he was my senior, actually. So we just went up to him, and then we just started talking. And then we realized we started talking for, like, hours. And then we just kept meeting up every day. And then just like that, throughout the entire poly life, we just became like best friends. And it only made sense when I was in army to like start something off with my own best friend, right? And then, yeah. So it's been very easy. People have this, there's this idea that working with your best friend is very dangerous and detrimental to the friendship.
Yep.
I don't disagree, but at the same time, I don't agree. So, working with Rose for the past 13 months on crypto banks actually has been amazing. It's been very easy because Rose is an amazing listener, and I pride myself in being a great speaker. So, by spending tons of time with each other, I became a better listener, and he became a better speaker as well. So, very complementary value and factors, I feel. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
Actually, how we started Crypto Banks was somehow, I think me, Ferris, and the rest of the team, we went out for a night's drinks, and then our artist and creative director, Freya, who's actually part of Crypto Banks and a founding member as well. She was actually talking about, hey, she's a very good artist and can illustrate anything, any type of work, she can do it. She was like, sharing on her challenges on how it's so hard as an artist to be just doing commission work on a daily basis, and it's so hard to get, you know, employed or rather just be a freelancer. That's when we just somehow the seed just planted, like, why not you do NFTs, like, if everyone's talking about NFTs. And then furthermore, at the point of time, I think Ferris was a bit ahead. He was into NFTs, looking up at materials and searching on Google and all. That's when I also started researching, and I realized for me myself, when I go and search onto something, I like to actually talk to someone who does it better or knows it better and learn from them, because I can just start shooting questions. But there was no one. That's when we realized, oh my god, in Singapore no one's doing it yet. So this is at the very start of last year. Yeah. So we were like, okay, so I guess we are going to be the ones who, one of the first ones to start doing an NFT project. How do we do it? That's when we realized we can't actually, we are not, we are everyday people, right? So we were like, okay, let's do something very relatable to Singapore, you know, and very easy to consume by the Singaporeans. And the whole narrative of why we want to do crypto banks at the end of the day is because every Singaporean knows what an Abing is, right? And Abings, I mean, it is quite a challenged stigma where some people look down on Abings, and some people applaud on how Abings have a lot of lobangs and they're very resourceful. So with our project, you know, with the utilities, if you're a holder, there's a lot of holder benefits, and you will be able to have many use cases for holding our NFT. So technically, the narrative is with crypto banks, you will be as resourceful as an Abing. And that is what our NFT project is about. And how it started, to be very honest, we did not know anything at all. It was like our decisions were made in like 5 minutes, right? I was like, Ferris, tell me something. And I'll be like, this kind of makes sense, but this part does not make sense. He'll be like, yeah, but let's just try it out. Then when we try it out, we will try about 50 things, and then one of them will work, right?
Okay.
Or we'll try 50 things, and then one of them will make a big mistake. And then by fixing the mistake, then everything works out. So
interesting.
So the whole NFT project was actually founded from making a lot of mistakes and trial and error. But the only thing that was constant all throughout was the feedback from the community and the people that we are doing this for. So if we are really unsure and on important milestones and questions, we just ask the community, we just ask the people, what do you guys actually want? What would you prefer us to do? And then from the answer, we just moved forward from every step till today lah.
Okay, cool. Wow, okay. I mean, like 30 months of building this NFT community and all this other stuff, it must be a really, really interesting and yet tough time for you guys, right? Because you guys would have met some, like what you said earlier, you all made some mistakes and then you tried to fix, and the next moment, voila, something good happens out of that fixing of the mistakes and all. So can you like tell us like what were the struggles that y'all face while you're building your NFT project?
Okay, so I feel that if we're talking about at the get-go, what are the biggest issues we faced? Number one was honestly, lack of guidance. We didn't have anyone to actually tell us how we should be doing it. And the one of the biggest issues we face is we didn't have a developer. So most NFT projects, they are able to run with just an artist and a developer, and a bonus to have a community manager. For us, in our team of four, Rose and I, we have no so issues, right? Rose and I don't have any background in PR, marketing, community management at all. Freya is an amazing artist and illustrator, and Denzel has our physical space. So biggest issue was finding a developer, and all the way we finished our Genesis collection without actually a developer. And I think, yeah, so we didn't have a developer. We won ERC-1155 OpenSea shared storefront contract. So it's literally just minting, lazy minting one by one on OpenSea and listing it for sale one by one. So lack of a tech guy, basically. Okay. Also, I would say Discord was a big issue because none of the people in our team were actually very literate in Discord. So it was always a problem for us for using Discord until the day where we realized, hey, NFT communities are using Telegram as well. Right. Let's ship over there. So then we opened our Telegram chat only for holders. We got about 228 holders currently out of the 388 collection. About 2% listed. So we got about 130 people in our Telegram right now talking daily. So that was how we solved the issue. So issue was we didn't know how to use Discord well. And then we just started using Telegram instead. The Discord is still there. We have Discord moderators that are helping us with Discord. When we first started, we had a guy called OX Komada. I will not dox him, yeah. So this guy, he was helping us with all our setting up of Discord. And so this is how we solved it. Yeah, so basically most of the things that we didn't know how to do, the challenges we faced, we look back to our community and we seek help through that. So yeah, pretty much that was the biggest issue that I faced personally. But what about you, Rose?
I think for me, the biggest issue was I think growing up, right? The society, you know, media tells you that you need to have some money to create something. And to be very honest with crypto banks, it started with $0. So and we have $0. Yeah, and we have no resources. We just have our friends and each other. So for me, mentally, I was quite pressured. If you ask me, like, how am I gonna, you know, build this with my team, right? How is anything gonna come up? But that is when I did not know where, like, I learn every day. And even yesterday, I probably learned something, right? So it's through the small little learning and the little failings that, you know, when you go to in networking events, I hated to network back then because I'm not a very good speaker. I can't go up to people and represent myself or like my project at that point of time. So when they ask me questions and for the lack of knowledge that I do not know, right, I'll be like, you know. So that was a very great challenge, but that's when I think me and Ferris, we just like, subconsciously like told ourselves like, yeah, let's stick around as long as we can, let's push with the project, and we will eventually start collecting all these resources, right? So you do the job until, you know, you get some recognition or you hit a milestone, and then you will have like a one resource joining you, and then slowly we've been building up the tools to run the project, and we are still growing by day. And that's why now we think we are ready to launch our second collection. So resources was a very big issue with our project.
Okay. Well, I mean, later on we'll discuss more about your latest collection, which is coming soon, the Gen Z collections, which we are really excited to hear about. And of course, I would like to ask you guys, because we have been talking a lot about NFTs for the whole 20 minutes of this conversation that we have. So can you tell us, like, what exactly are NFTs and why should we care about them?
First, you want to take
it? So basically, if you want to get a bit technical, NFTs are basically just a piece of data. And this piece of data, it can be owned by an address, and it can be sold, transferred, and bought by different address. And whoever owns the private keys to those addresses, to the address, owns that piece of data. And this piece of data, it can is usually directed by a host, hosted on a server, and it can be directed to an image, a GIF, a video, an MP4 folder, MP3 folder. So it can be anything. But the whole gist of it is that the piece of data is stored on a blockchain. So because the data is stored on the blockchain, it's you can't copy it. You can't it's non-fungible. So to really understand this, we have to use examples such as watches, such as Rolex watches. Right now in the market, there's so many fake Rolex, replica Rolexes. And I think Kevin O'Leary mentioned this, that if we want to talk about the potential about NFTs, we can't talk about just normal PFPs. We should talk about the potential of the technology, especially in watches. So what he mentioned was that watch factories, they should mint NFTs for each watch that they produce. And this will really authenticate it. And this will really destroy the entire replica market.
Yeah.
So because all the proof of ownership will be stored on a blockchain, nobody can actually flex a fake watch anymore, if to put it that way. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I mean, I'm a big watch fan, watch collector as well. So recently I also saw Seven Friday, they are also having NFT for Seven Fridays as well. So they are minting Seven Friday watches, and they have those, they have their own very special QR code or something, and then once you scan it, you'll get to see your data and whatever not, and then you got to actually go online for this for this minting and all this other stuff that they have in their online store, from what I saw. And it's really interesting that that you said what Kevin O'Leary was talking about NFT. I saw that about yesterday or the day before, and when I saw that, I was like, hey, this is a very interesting analogy on NFT and watches, because if you want to actually make sure that no one is faking that product, then all the more you need this NFT to help you out to make sure that no one is copying and pasting it in all the other, in their networks of OpenSea and whatever not. So this is a really, I would say, a really good strategy for the market right now. For even LV, they are also exploring NFTs, and all the other big brands, they're also exploring this because they want to protect their stuff, because there's so many replica these days, right? There's tons of them. You go China, you go Thailand, you go whatever country, that there are so many of them. So I truly believe that this is a way to go for the future. NFT is really for the future, and we have to hop onto this bandwagon. If not, it will be something that we'll be really regretting for not jumping onto it earlier. And that's why Gary V has always been, trying to mind fuck all of us to go and buy and go and invest V friends and or even to start in NFT space, which I'm glad that I met you guys, and Elim Chu was the one who
Gary V's book.
And Gary V, right? Yeah, that book is the one of the best books I would say that he has ever written, other than Crushing It, which I've read. It is really this is really good. This is fundamental for all entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs which want to know what this book is, you go and check it out, 12 and a half. You guys will enjoy reading this. It talks a lot about the fundamental values of an entrepreneur, what you guys should have and how you guys can actually work on it. And there are exercises for you guys as well to do.
Yeah.
So it's really good, really, really good. And of course,
one thing I really like about the book, if I may add, is that Gary Vee mentions that a lot of people in their 20s, they are trying to make it and become a millionaire by 30 years old. And he says that, but with new medicine, we can live up to 100 years old. So why are we trying to rush and become millionaires by 30 years old? And the moment I read that, I just took a deep breath and I was like, wow, because that exactly explains what I'm trying to do at 24. Like, I keep thinking that if I'm not a millionaire by 30 years old, that I have failed. And when I read that, I was thinking, if someone like Gary Vee in his 40s can say that, I think, yeah, I should take a chill pill and, you know, take things slow.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, man. I mean, like, back then when I was in my mid-20s, probably 20, a bit later, probably 27, 28, I was thinking that I want to be in Forbes 30 under 30. But to today, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. But my mindset was, if I get it, I'll be my branding will be great, and more people will know more about Legacy Show. But I was wrong. To today, it's I'm not in Forbes 30 under 30, but I'm grateful that so many people get to know about the Legacy Show through the word of mouth and through, you know, social media and all this, whatever not. And we are like the global top 2% of podcasts around the world out of the 2 million plus podcasts that's there in Spotify and in iTunes and all this other stuff. My bad for the bragging rights, but this is something that I really, really appreciate. And I'm thankful that you guys got to know about the show and want to be on the show. And I'm really, you know, blessed to have you guys to share a lot on the knowledge that you have on NFTs and how to even create NFT and build NFT, which I would say build the NFT community, which will be going forward towards it. And I would like to ask you guys, right, since you guys started from scratch, $0, no tech guys coming to help you at the start, so how did you all create your CryptoBanks NFT?
All right.
Rose, okay. you can share. Yeah.
So CryptoBanks, our NFT project is on the Ethereum blockchain, right? So
right.
And OpenSea is Ethereum's one of the Ethereum's, you know, biggest blockchain marketplace there is. So there's this one function with OpenSea is where I think Ferris just mentioned previously, it's called the ERC-1155. So this is a token standard, the type of token our NFT is. And this token standard, it allows you to, is actually as, it's like putting up a picture on Instagram and then posting it for people to view. It's almost the same. So as long as you have like a JPEG or like a, even if it's a PNG, a media file or media file as in like a video or audio, you can just put it up in the OpenSea, right? And then when you click mint and then you click your preferred, you know, there's a few other chains that you'll be able to click on which your NFT you want to be. When you click, right?
Okay.
And then it's as easy as posting an Instagram picture. So as we are speaking right now, Ferris could just take a screenshot and post our screenshot as an NFT.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that can be done very quick, right? So that's how we right. did it. So we had our creative director Freya, you know, one by one make the pixelated artwork, and then she and Ferris will go on to upload it on OpenSea. And of course, uploading on OpenSea, it requires you to create an account, and that account was CryptoBanks Genesis, CryptoBanks Genesis Collection. That was our account. And for people that want to buy and consume our NFTs, it's very easy. Just go on OpenSea, they put in our name CryptoBanks, and then you will be able to see all our NFTs, and then you buy it from there. That's how we did it. But usually how people do it is so NFTs are like the blue chip projects like BAC and, you know, other projects that are in huge supply. When I say supply, means their supply is in the thousands, in the high thousands, like 5,000, 8,000, 10,000. So actually what happens behind the NFTs is the illustrator or the artist, they draw the layers one by one. So maybe they will have a base layer, like a let's say if it's a PFP, like a profile picture NFT project, and the artwork is like a human, a cartoon human, right? So they will have like a shirtless guy, right? That's the base layer, and then the artist will go on about drawing about 50 different type of shirts that sits on the base layer, 50 different type of facial features. Are there like hairs? Does he have like earrings?
Okay.
And maybe 30 different types of specs or any type of eyewear, and then caps and hair. So what happens is the developer will basically, in layman terms, will take all this layer, put it inside the algorithm that will generate. So that's why they call it generative NFTs, right? So it will just generate different combinations, right?
Oh,
so okay. It will have like out of 50, it will have like one shirt that is black and then one shirt that is black, one that has a cap. So that is one NFT that will come up. So it's like super random. But technically, okay. If you actually make the max, right, 50 layers, 50, 50, 50, everything, right, you can have a million permutations. So the permutation can be, you know, permutation as in like the combinations that you can churn out can be in the millions. And you have the power to choose actually what you want. Because sometimes it will be very funny, man. For crypto banks, we had this dilemma where we wanted to have like cigarettes, and cigarettes in the mouth, but at the same time okay. have like be fully representative. So we wanted hijab, right? You know, but we can't have that because you know it's just wrong. And you know, so we are still okay. able to select and select and say, hey, I don't want this layer to overlap with this another layer. So that is like the back end. So what happens next is so once all the combinations are out, I know about this project and I want to go buy into this project, all I do is when they announce the day, they mint the collection. So minting means basically making, right? So we as the project says we are going to mint, means we are going to make it. And also, it also is the same for, you know, when consumers, they are going to buy it, or they also use the term mint. So it's actually like a term that is kind of used in both ways. So when we say, when a guy says, I'm going to mint from this collection now, then they will go and buy it. So what they buy, they would never know what they buy.
It's kind of, so minting is kind of like validating information on the blockchain.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Right.
So... they do not know what they're going to buy. But the thing about NFTs, right, is if I'm putting out an NFT and people are using their money to buy this NFT, it either has to have a use case, you know, with this NFT, what can I do?
Right. Or
some people, you know, or the term, it's a proper term, it's called degen. So what degens do, they just buy the NFT to flip it. So of course, these NFTs, if there is hype and FOMO and a following behind, there's a culture curated by the project, you can flip it and make some money off of it. So there's two sides of the coin. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Wow. Okay. So then I just curious, like how long does it take for you guys to create this artwork for crypto bakes? Like for example, like crypto khakis like mine, it took like less than a day or 2 days. So I think less than a day, right? For it
so,
to be out.
So a crypto khaki actually only takes our artist under 5 minutes. So we've tested this before. We sent her a message and within 9 minutes of replying to us and saying everything, she sent it back within 9 minutes. So she kind of finished it in like about 5 minutes. Because what we do have is that we have a base. So just think of it as like a naked humanoid. All she has to do is draw the hair on, the eyes, features, the facial features, like your glasses. Maybe you want a special t-shirt with a jacket, like for you had like a coat on. Then she just draws this. But the drawing is not easy. She has to have an eye for it. If you ask Rose or I to draw a crypto khaki, we could take the whole day and it will still look quite bad. So we play to our own strengths, yeah. But if you are talking about how long does it take to draw all the layers of a collection, it would first of all depend on number of layers. Secondly, the type of art style and how many different trait categories do you have. So generally, let's say when Rose talk about people having 50 different t-shirts, 50 different hairstyles, 50 different facial features. So one a t-shirt would be basically like a t-shirt would be one trade category. So right. if you want to have multiple trade categories, like let's say an arm is a trade category, the eye color is a trade category, the eyebrow is a trade category, then you'll have multiple trade categories, which will mean that there'll be more layers. And then your artist, depending on whether she's doing this full time and alone, it will take quite a while. For Crypto Beings, all our layers for our Gen 2 was drawn only by one artist, and it took about a month or so. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I see. Nice. Nice. Then, you know, right now the market is quite bad. It hasn't gone up so much yet, right? So do you, can both of you actually share with me, like, is the current market growth sustainable for NFTs?
Okay, so talking about the current market, right? So
yeah.
the market, the way the market is set right now, it's the perfect timing for builders in the space, right? It's time to build, right? It's not time to really go out and blast everything out. But when it comes to NFTs, the market is very good because it automatically filters out the projects that will not be of any value add, you know, to people. So at the bull run, right, you see people just money at everything, just buying any type of NFTs, and you know, they'll buy like 20 NFTs, you know. It's just so easy because, and these 20 NFTs, you know, might not even have a use case, might not even have a utility. There's no holder benefits. So right now, here's the thing. A lot of people say, oh, it's bear market and you are still doing NFTs. And I say, yeah, I'm doing NFTs because my project has value. It has the proper utilities. It actually rewards our holders for buying into our project. And it's a sustainable project because we do a lot of utilities and all, which I'll explain in a while. But for the bear market right now, I dare say that a lot of people who are in the projects, and these projects are actually doing right by them and right by the community. They are putting out proper utilities and making it worth, you know, worth the buck that they are putting out.
Okay, cool. So what are utilities? Like, can you share with us?
So utilities are basically use case, right? So what can I do with this NFT, this piece of, you know, like a, is if it's a, it's a, it's a, it's an artwork, right? So literally this digital art, what can I do with it? So with Crypto Beings, what we have as a utility is we have a physical space. It's called Wicked Good. It's a two-story bar bistro, right? If you're a holder, you go to our, physical space. You have, you can have meals every day at a discounted rate. And for our own events, you can come in, you know, you are just automatically invited and everything is free. And apart from our physical space, what we have is merchant partners island-wide. And with these merchant partners and you're a holder, you can go to these and their place of businesses and have exclusive access to, you know, perks, redemptions, discounts, secret menus. Basically, exclusive access of different sorts. So we have like bars, we have like even vet, we have vets on board, we have like lifestyle, and we have like this rug makers. You know, they are all of them are Singaporean, right? So for our project, basically, what you get is if you hold, you know, our NFT, every week we will release a new utility venue, and you can use your NFT to go down to this venue and have something back. So it's basically quite empowering if you ask me, because I am now able to go into a, you know, establishment and say, hey, I have this NFT and I'm entitled to, you know, redeem this discount or something that you can offer to me that is at, you know, that's at a better rate or something only for exclusive for people like me or even just me. Like, we have this place, Los Amigos, it's at Bookie. Yep. So what we have partnered up with them is you are entitled to a secret menu, and it's not just one secret menu every day. I mean, every like it's every day you go in, right, is a different thing. So even the guy, let's say, Rayson, you use your crypto khaki to go and have a secret, you know, it's like you go down there, they'll ask you, what do you feel like having? And then you get served something that you want, you know, right? And if I go in the next day, I'll not eat the very same thing.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so that's for secret mix. Yeah.
Okay.
And some of the others, we have like bars that offer very good rates, discounted rates for alcohol and even food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is utility, right? So I buy a crypto banks at 0.02 or 0.03 ETH, which is what, like 30-40 bucks at most when the gas is super high. And as expensive as it gets is $80, but every week I have a new place to go to. I have a new lobang in that sense that I can bring my friends to and enjoy. So that is crypto banks utility.
Okay,
so then for some other projects, there is like, you know, you are allowed to go to parties and networking sessions, and you have like it's actually NFT to simply explain to someone, it's a membership. That's the first layer, right? Okay. And then there are much more layers behind it, right? But the simplest way, you know, if you're really, really tired and someone asks you like, well, what's NFT? It's like, oh, it's a membership. Why? Is everyone now, everyone can just start their own project or, you know, like create their own membership. It's because NFTs, they empower people to create their own, you know, their own content, their own services. And you do not need any type of agency. You don't need middlemen. You are straight, you know, you can hold hands with the consumers. There's no middle guy. So that's why NFTs are really very, very empowering for creators and graphic designers and any type of artists. Right, you do not need labels, you know, for like people who make music. They now don't need labels. They can put out their own NFTs and hit to their consumers straight away. So So with this bear market, where I'm going at is your NFT. So anyone can make NFTs, but your NFT has to make sense for the people that buy it, and it has to help them. Yeah. So this bear market filters all of that out, right? So only the projects with the right utilities and the right benefits and the right use case will actually be relevant in the space.
Okay, nice. Well, okay. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you got to be relevant to your audience in terms of the things that you offer, in terms of the membership, what do they get and all. And I'm not sure if you know this guy. His name is Dennis. He's actually part of a... he's pretty big in Singapore's NFT and Thai disco and all kind of space. I met him the other time during a bar launch. So he was telling me this. So I'm not sure what's your take on this, but he told me that anyone who wants to like start their own NFT, what we should do is not start first. We should go and collaborate with people first, and then after that, in the midst, we start our own NFT brand and all. What's your take on this, Ferris?
I feel that when he talk about collab with people first before starting your own brand, I think first you got to have a project before you can collab with other projects, right?
Okay.
That's kind of the consensus. So I believe if we're speaking about collaborating with other projects, I totally agree, because in this space, without collaborating with projects, honestly, unless you have like a superstar founder, it's not going to pop off for you. So for Crypto Bings, when we first started, we actually collaborated with this amazing 3D artist called Mecha Mini X. So this is basically a 3D robot which is modeled after like a keycap, like, you know, for your keyboards. So we partnered with him, and what he did was he made a 3D robotic version of a crypto banks, and we sold it together on Foundation, and we know we like split the profits and stuff. It's just a way for both of us to leverage on each other's community to give each other maximum exposure. And if you see the merch I'm wearing today, it's actually the Crypto Banks Club merch with the Mecha Mini X. So it's actually a collaboration merch with us and him together to really like solidify our partnership. with him.
Okay.
And we even did the NFT that is pegged to each shirt. So in existence, let's say there's about 40 t-shirts in existence. Each holder of each shirt owns the NFT to prove that it's a authentic shirt as well. In our early days, collaboration was all we could do, because without that, that's the only way we can grow organically. When we worked with SG NFT creators, they are the one that really helped us promote our stuff a lot, because without SG NFT creators, Anthony and Trafina, it'll be very difficult in this space to get a head start out there, especially where crypto banks, none of us founders are influencers or, you know, have a big following. So we're just like average Joes trying to make a dent in this NFT space. And definitely collaborations are our go-to. We have about 15-ish projects lined up right now for our collaboration with AMAs and Whitelist giveaways coming up soon for our Gen Z collection.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I truly agree, like, you know, in terms of collaborations, because everyone started off with collaborations before they became popular in a sense. Unless if we are Jay Chou or JJ Lin, then probably it's a different ball game, right? Or even Mark Lee, who just started out his own Kong community and Kong kind of
monkey, Kong collective, yeah.
Yeah, Kong collective kind of you know, NFTs, all the monkey, the apes, and all this other stuff, right? So yeah, okay, cool. I find it interesting. I really love the shirt that you guys have created. I mean, like, it's really nice, and it reminds me of this brand called Balenciaga. it has a feel, right? And you guys are making a dent in NFT, in the NFT space, I would say. That's why, you know, you guys are on the podcast, and also at the same time, you guys are actually out there being interviewed by so many people, and yeah, you guys were also part of Meta Jam, which is like one of the big, I would say, like a seminar of
NFT staff, gallery, right? It was a 3-month long gallery by Invade, yeah. Cult, and Chain Debrief.
Yeah, correct. It's a big one. It's like Success Resources was holding, you know, inviting Gary Vee and Tony Robbins and all these other people coming to talk. And you guys were one of the speakers to be there to talk about NFTs, the crypto banks, and all this other stuff, which was really, really cool. And, you know, it's something that I believe it took you guys 13 months of hard work and sweat and tears, and you guys have finally made a huge dent in Singapore's NFT space, and there's more to come. I'm pretty sure you guys have more to come, which we want to know more later on about the Gen Z's NFT that you guys have for crypto banks. And I'd like to ask you, right, so what is your advice for newbies who want to get started with NFT, right? So they want to create their own. So what's your opinion on that? What's your advice on that?
Okay,
Rose,
yeah, I'll get it. So it really depends on what you want to do or what you want to give to people in exchange. So NFTs, right, it's not really a shortcut. Like, it's not a shortcut business. You can just put up stuff online and then people buy it without, you know. It still exists where it has to have a value. Like I said, if you can curate a culture or a community with your NFTs, NFT project, then actually anyone can create, right? So if, let's say, I'm a beginner and I want to create an NFT, the first thing is get acquainted to the space and get acquainted to the culture. And I would want to say this NFT space, everything is up and online. So it's quite a sensitive space to be in because people are watching you. The whole Web3 space is about transparency, you know, utmost transparency. Everyone's watching you. They're looking at your next move. They know how much you've earned through your projects, right? And they know who has been buying and selling your NFTs. So with that said, you have to get acquainted with the space and know how cold it can be and the harsh reality of, you know, being in the Web3 space. Second comes, what are you offering and how much are you willing to put forward for your project? When I say how much, it's not in monetary terms. It's about it's about a lot of building. So NFT projects, right? It's not just if I decide I wanna, you know, make an NFT project today and 2 months down the road after developing and I launch it, nobody's gonna buy it. Because nobody knows you. You know, it's a very saturated market right now. There's a lot of projects out there, and there's a lot of projects, you know, doing big things and great things with, you know, their community, right? So how can I be different now? Like, or what's my niche, right? So there is a advantage and disadvantage talking about niche, because if your project is too much of a niche, then you won't have that funnel of people coming into your project.
Oh, it has to start, right?
Okay. So let's say, for example, a very, very niche would be what's a very big niche?
Bro, you literally just us.
Yes. Yeah, but right, here's the thing. Crypto banks is a niche, very simply put. So it's a super local Singaporean project. We can't scale.
Right.
Right. But we have, you know, our goal is not to scale beyond Singapore. So that is our end goal. Our end goal is to, you know, have as many as Singaporeans be acquainted to the space, onboard them to the Web3 space. You know, that's our end goal. So we are okay with our whole model being contained within Singapore. But I would like to ask a newbie, like, who's, you know, what is the end goal? What do you want? What you want is a big following on Twitter, right? And your own community, just buy a Basie and then just, you know, or a CryptoPunk, right? And then start a project, right? And make sure that project rewards people well with whatever type of utilities you can hold. Let's say if I'm a car dealer, right? Right.
Yeah.
This is not really applicable in Singapore, but let's say I'm a car dealer and I want to have like a one-stop shop where why do people have to go through so many signing out forms and paying so many different type of payments? What if I just want to buy a car, right? I buy an NFT, and then with that NFT, there comes attached documents of whatever you need to be aware of, like insurance and all that stuff. And then boom, you have it. So your add value or your benefit of actually selling NFTs to people is it's a one-stop shop. You don't need to go down there, you know. So you really make payments easy. So for newbies, I would say, what are you really building and what is this NFT for? So for us, right, it was really for fun. You can try out for fun, lah, but it'll be 13 months of pain. Because only about like at the fourth or fifth month, to be very honest, you know, very honest, only on the fourth or fifth month, we were like, oh my God, okay, this is actually serious, right? In the first 4 months, we did not go to networking events. We were just like, oh, super abing NFT project, let's do it. Or it's all about how we, you know, speak online, you know, it's like, you know, we're tweeting stuff really abing. So without us knowing, we're actually like, you know, curating this type of culture, bring back the abing culture. Mm-hmm. So for newbies, please build. And if it does not add value, don't build, because the space is very sensitive.
Oh, okay. Cool. I see. So meaning to say that they have to not too niche in a sense, if they want to be, they have to be something that is of value to people, and they have to be in terms of like utilities that they have that they can actually provide to the audience that they want to provide for, must be of interest to these people. In a sense, it's just like how we buy watches or how we buy the shirt and all this other stuff, right? Okay, I understand. Cool. And how about Ferris? Do you have any tips for them?
I would say you gotta half of yourself. You gotta have the spirit where, like how we started the project, to just go for it. You know, don't worry too much about it, because they some wise person told me the other day, the way to kill a good idea is to start planning. I think it was Jimmy from Web3 Web3 SG.
Oh,
yeah, it's just,
okay.
yeah, the way to kill a good idea is to start planning. So I mean, partially I do agree with that, because the way we do things is very like spur of the moment type. However, if I could turn back the time, honestly, I would do much more market research before I started this project. Learning from a lot of online NFT marketing companies, they've been preaching that make a project that is super general, super consumable, where literally anyone would purchase this, be it whether you are in US, you are in Europe, you are in India, you are in China. You look at this project and you know, okay, I get what they're doing and I like it. And
Okay.
crypto beings, I would say, is our heartland home project. But whether this project is going to be the next CryptoPunks, maybe of Singapore, but not nowhere near like international. So
Okay.
if Rose and I were to, you know, have some time aside from this project, my other project and our startup, to make another NFT project, we will definitely do something where it's easily consumable by the international market, so that we don't really you know, put our entire holder base into this small market in Singapore only. Because right now, crypto being, we are kind of limited because people don't understand what an Arbing is. And one by one, explaining to people what Arbing is, or even capturing the attention of international audience, for them to even spend 30 seconds reading a thread about what an Arbing is and what the culture is about, it takes a lot. And
Right.
it has to have some reason for them to even do that. You know, maybe if a mega star like Justin Bieber says CryptoBings is a crazy great project, maybe then they would stop and take 30 seconds to understand the culture. But other than
Yeah.
that, we don't have that going for us. So what we can do for ourselves, we don't have the hype, neither do we have the, you know, the influential founders. What we can do is we can provide a lot of utility for our holders. And whether or not people actually think our project is valuable, at least we know that the people that buy into our project early, we are rewarding them, and we always feel good every time we lock in another merchant partnership for them. Because, and then we talk to the merchants and we try to get the best deal possible for our holders. And a lot of people have asked us, is this sustainable for us? Because we're not earning anything from these partnerships. And honestly, if you talk about sustainability, in a sense where are we earning money from this project? Can we do crypto banks for the rest of our lives? No, we can't do it solely and live off of crypto banks only. That's why through crypto banks, the lessons that we've learned and the people that we met and taught us tons of things, we're able to do other things to you know, support ourselves. So
Okay.
I feel that crypto banks was really our baby project that help us grow in this Web3 space and help us learn a lot of things. It was really our foot in the door in the NFT space. And, you know, taking lessons from Gary Vee, I'm not worried. I don't feel that, you know, we are too late. I feel that our time has just begun, and we are gonna do much more in this space. And really, 13 months is just the beginning.
Right. It's just like what Gary has told me back then when I interviewed him. He told me this. A lot of people thought that, you know, you're going to post a post on LinkedIn, post a couple of posts on Instagram, and you're going to be a famous, or you're going to be on a yacht. But he told me this very next sentence that just blew my mind. And that was this: it takes 21 years for a person to become successful. And I was like, mind blown. I was like, why 21 years? And he said this: because if you have the mindset that it's going to be a marathon rather than a short race, then all the more you'll be making more milestones, and you'll be achieving more. You'll be getting more things done, and you'll be more motivated and inspired to do things rather than, you know, oh, I just did this and I just reached, you know, for example, I reached Forbes under 30 under 30, and that's it. I got no other things in mind already, right? But for him, it's like, oh, I just started VFriends. I'm going to create more things. I'm going to create more stuff. Oh, I just had my YouTube channel, for example, and he's building Daily V. And then after that, he built more stuff from there, and he found the trend of what to do, and then he continued building it. So it's the same goes for you guys, right? I'm pretty sure, you know, you guys are just the first year and you guys have a lot of achievements so far, I would say. These collaborations with leading restaurants in Singapore and probably like more other places that is going to come by. I'm pretty sure you guys will do really well, and I'm looking forward to you know, more of your success as well. And I'm just curious, do you guys have any international buyers so far, like people who actually bought crypto banks from other countries?
Yeah, so we actually have a kind of a whale from US. Guy, Papa B. So I remember he came to our live mint in Singapore, our first live mint. He brought his laptop and set up his cold wallet, and he straight away he minted like 5 or something, and then he started transferring it to people. And then I think now he's back in US based there, and he was one of our first international audience. So I think he's he even bought the ENS like angmo.eth or something.
okay. Wow.
So yeah. Oh yeah. So the guy that actually bought our last crypto banks, like he bought the 388th. It's actually this guy from Tunisia. His name is Marouin. So he actually works for Consensus. So he bought the last one. I remember I went up to him at an event and I pitched to him the entire project and I told him, you can have the honor of buying the last one from us. And he was like, okay, you guys got discounts for beers? Okay, I'm sold. Then he just bought one on the spot.
Okay. Was it the guy that I met when we were at the... Where we met that time, or was it
another guy? Simo. That's Simo. Simo is from Morocco.
Oh, that's Simo. Yes, the Moroccan, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's also another international guy that bought your stuff, right? In a sense.
Wait, I don't think he bought, right? Did he buy? I'm not sure.
I need to check, but he's a very good friend, like. He's a very good friend.
Yeah, we met him. Okay. We met him at an event by these two guys from Bangladesh, Ilyas and Fahad. So both of them, they used to be the co-founders of Patao, you know, 8 million user super app in Bangladesh, Grab. Yeah. So now they started a new company called Wind.app, which is basically like a custodial crypto wallet. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, cool. They introduced us to Simo.
Oh, nice. Okay. Understand. Just curious, right? So just now you already gave advice to how these newbies can actually create their own NFT and all. So how about building communities? How did you all build your own DAO, your community in a sense?
We don't have a DAO, but I think communities can be built. For us, our case is that it's through our NFT project. So people owning our NFT, now they have a similar interest in something. And because of this similar interest, they are able to talk about the similar interest. So when we first started Discord, people were speaking there. And then we opened Twitter, people were talking there. So the conversations were going on. Through these conversations and the tools that we have enabled on Discord, such as like the gambling casino, and we have a page called the Jiapem Ling Jiu. So for international audience, it's like, you know, whatever you eat lah, whatever you eat and drink, people take picture and they'll post it on our Discord in this one channel. So it really creates this thing where everyone feels that they're part of this community and they want to share things about themselves with the community. So in my opinion, that we talk about different communities. You have like, you have communities like the Ivy Boys, where in the community they talk about more, let's say like atas things, let's say like luxury watches, and maybe like omakase restaurants. If you like that, then you can be that part of yourself in that community. Let's say you want to talk about abeng stuff, like siam tiu, like alcohol, like siambu, all these kind of things. Then you come to the crypto banks chat and then you can say whatever you want, because okay, nobody cares. And in our chat, we don't censor you. You can literally just shill your projects. We wouldn't honestly care. Because to me, I feel that if you're talking about decentralization, who am I to delete your tweet or delete your text? Whatever you want to post, just post. Maybe not something like dangerous to people. If it's dangerous to people, then maybe you will delete it. But yeah, that's the gist of it. So basically, to create a community just through our NFT project, people speculate about what we are going to launch, or people speculate together about whatever giveaway. Like, let's say they say, I want to win this, I want to win that. Then we create this community based on a common interest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Understand. All right. Wow. Then, for example, right, I created my own NFT. Okay. So how can I actually market this NFT and sell it out in the next 4 weeks?
Okay. Here's the thing. Let's say if I say I decide, okay, I'm going to start NFT now and I want to sell out in 4 weeks. only one, one set of people, a type of people can do it is really popular people. People who already have the credentials. So like Ferris said, right, if Justin Bieber says, hey, I have this project, go and buy. Or like who else, like Eminem. Right, very big figures like Eminem, right? People will buy it because given their status, I mean, they are like a celebrity or like, given their status, the holding their NFT is like almost like it just becomes rare and becomes it's like a commodity, right? But let's say I really want to build a project where my community, everyone, I will create my own community because, that's what everything is about, right? In the NFTs, you creator economy is made easier. You are your own economy. You create your own economy, your own consumers, right? So, so let's say, I know V friends like Gary V, right? So there are certain things that entail to, actually owning Gary V, V friend NFT. So here's the thing. Let's start from scratch. Let's say I'm a musician. I'm a local up and coming rapper, right? And I want to be in the Web3 space, and I'm going to create a community, that's going to be about rap, about the hip hop culture, and how do I incentivize people to buy my NFT is, let's say I have the power, start from Singapore lah. I have all the rappers, meet and greets. So if you're a holder of my NFT, it could be something like SG Rap NFT lah, or Asia Rap NFT. So just like that, I sell what's the idea. So the idea I'm selling is, this NFT is about rap. So if I like classical music or I like, other type of music, right, I'm not going to gravitate towards rap, right? So you are who you're creating for, all right? So now I create the NFT project already. Then it will take a while, right, to actually go and accumulate all these people, curate the, the culture and the community, you start, talking to people, engaging on Twitter, and then bringing them into your own private platform, such as Discord or Telegram. And then after that, the community starts talking to itself. And here's the best part of having a community. The culture of the community is curated by the community itself, not by really the project founder. So once the community, right? Yeah. So once the community is there, then the community will start saying, hey, let's say if you do another collection, put this as the utility lah. And then maybe the utility will be every month, let's say there's a rap concert or like a rap show, right? Now all these people, they have a free pass to the rap show or at a discounted rate. Or if they go there, they get free food and drink, something.
Understand.
So as a rap artist, right? Me, right? What I did was I started a community for the rap, for people who like rap and hip hop stuff. And at the same time, now I have the power with my NFTs, right? I do not need to be in any label. I do not need to be like, I'm my own label, Rose, rap.com, something like, So I do not need to pay a middleman's service charge. Now I can do my own shows, and I know there will be the audience there because the community is there. Mm-hmm. So why is impossible to do this in 4 weeks because it will take time. Unless I am Eminem. If Eminem was to say, I'm going to throw a NFT now, buy it in 4 weeks, I can do four shows live. I'm Eminem.
Okay.
So there's the difference. So it's all. You mean?
Yeah, I get what I mean. I get what I mean. Okay, so meaning to say that if we are new, we can't we can't sell a lot. Like, we probably can market it through social media or even like funnels and all this other stuff, but still we won't be able to sell it out so fast like how the celebrities are selling out their NFTs, in a sense. Okay.
Well, actually, honestly, if you had crazy amazing art and an amazing website where you actually garner like 50,000 followers in a week, that is the exception. Other than that, celebrities, because there are projects that are coming out and the art is just crazy, the website is insane, and it looks like it was done by, you know, crazy professionals, but a lot of them are not doxxed. So you have no idea who these creators are, but you know that you must join them, and you have this huge FOMO to join them. So other than celebrities selling the projects themselves, it could be an unknown person selling a project, and then a celebrity endorses it. Yeah. And it should be a natural endorsement, organic, not sponsored. Because I think a huge red flag is when a celebrity is hired to endorse a project. That is very red flag to me, because it tells me that they need somebody to be paid to actually sell their project. Because I feel a good project sells itself. Or maybe the founders sell it in our case. Because for us, we literally go to events and talk about our project to sell our collection.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the exception, I feel.
Okay. Cool. Wow. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I really love it when, you know, you said that you do not like people paying people to sell your project, in a sense. You rather you yourself sell it yourself, or people find that it's of value. It's like a gem to them. It's like a pearl in the sea, and they get it, and they know that, hey, this is of value, and then they share it among their friends and all. Okay, so then are you guys working with any celebrities right now in terms of the NFT? Because as a crypto kaki, I know some of them, like I know a few of them that are there. So are you like partnering up with them or things like that?
So actually, Crypto Khakis was something of like our, like Rose and I, brainchild, where we told ourselves, okay, we need KOL endorsements. However, number one, we don't have the money for KOL endorsements. Number two, in the time in the space, you realize that if we actually pay for KOL endorsements, it looks very cheap. And like I mentioned, it looks like the project has no real substance, that you have to pay money for people to actually promote the project. Mm-hmm. So what we did was that we thought, let's bring in people of renowned status like yourself. And the project became, the Crypto Khaki project became celebrities, talents, and influencers in the space. However, since then, it has migrated to becoming key opinion leaders in the NFT and crypto space that we are putting in this project. So this collection is really just to shine a light on these individuals for the work that they have done and are still doing for the NFT and crypto space. And with their big voice, they are hopefully that they, you know, they talk about our project because of what they have seen us been doing. So these crypto khakis that we give to people, they have no obligation to use it as their PFPs. They have no obligation to share about it or post it or even talk about the project at all. This is just something that the Team Crypto Banks feels that it's our way of shining a light on the people that are doing a lot for the community and doing a lot for the NFT crypto space. Right now, we are not actually working with them. Okay, we are talking to a few of them, but more of that they want to help us and they want to know how can they help us bring out our exposure and increase our exposure. So we are talking to a few of them right now to help us out with some exposure for the next launch. Yeah, other than that, we're not paying anyone for any endorsements.
Understand. Well, I'm really thrilled for you guys, and of course, like I said, you know, Elim Chu, who is still watching, I believe, she was the one who actually shined the light for both of us, you know, to meet one another, or else we wouldn't have this podcast, or we wouldn't have met the first time round in August as well, and we wouldn't have Crypto Khaki for myself as well, and which I'm really honored. And of course, I would like to end this off with this question, but of course, later on we're gonna talk a bit more on the stuff that you guys are doing next. All right, so Ferris and Rose, I'm gonna ask you this very, very intriguing question that I always ask, and I learned this from Russell Brunson. Okay, so imagine this: you suddenly lose everything, okay, your money, your reputation. So what will you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself?
Okay,
Rose, you can start first.
Let's say I lose money or reputation. So basically, I become Mr. Nobody, right? Mr. Unknown.
Yes.
I don't have anything to represent as, you know, for myself. What I'll start doing is, let's say I want to continue, staying in the Web3 space and in the in the Web3 world, right?
Right.
I would start attending. Go back to events. Just go network with people, mm-hmm. because I can tell you, 1 year ago we did not have any money, right? Neither now, right. We do not have large sums of money. So we are very used to not having money. That's not the point. Money is not the point here. It's what we're building, right? So you need reputation to build. So your network and your connection matters much more than how much money you actually have. You know, your face value. People actually like you, and people like the work you do. So I will restart everything. I don't have anything now. I'll start. But now, do I still remember the knowledge that I have from the work?
Of course, of course. You do not have dementia. Okay. No worries.
Oh, then, bro, whatever we've done in a year, I can do it in 3-4 months, lah, bro. I just start being back with networking events. Because I realized at the start, I start going for these events and networking sessions. I did not like to speak at all. Good 20 minutes and my social battery runs out, until after a while I realize I'm doing this for a purpose. I'm here to meet people. I'm here to see how I can help people and how people can help me, right? And honestly, going to the events, and I thank Ferris a lot for it, because he's always with me, and he'll just say, okay, Rose, this is how you have to talk to people, you know, let's go and talk to this guy. So he taught me the dynamics of engaging people. I will start doing it ASAP, any and every event, because there's so many opportunities at these events to build. If not CryptoBanks, I'll be doing something else, right? But just go to events, meet people, meet new people, and of course, be in the right space, go to the right events that actually interest you and is of purpose. You know, it's useful. I mean, if I don't go to a Web3 event, it's quite funny, right? If I go to like a golf club event, unless this golf, all the people at golf, they talk about NFTs and Web3, okay, like, makes sense, right? But
right.
Just our web and events and networking sessions, just go and talk to people. There are a lot of opportunities out there.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, man. I mean, like, it's just like this saying by Jim Rohn, your network equals your net worth. So when you are meeting people, it's like, I get to know you. You guys can introduce people to the podcast, and I can introduce people to crypto banks, you know. And who knows, right? We will be adding different kind of value. It's not just monetary, but it's different kind of value that we can add to one another, in a sense. And how about Ferris? What would you do in the next 30 days?
I think it depends also if I have no reputation, meaning I came out fresh, or my reputation was ruined. So I just want to clarify on that.
Okay, so let's say this is the worst case scenario. Your reputation is being ruined. Okay, then okay. And you have no money. What will you do in the next 30 days?
Okay, so like what Rose mentioned, Rose and I are very familiar with having no money. We can live off like $200 a month. We are totally fine with that. We know how to really like, you know, suffer. For lack of a better word, we are not like unfamiliar for that. So money, it doesn't matter. But reputation.
Okay, we are just very good at bootstrapping. I think he's trying to say very good at bootstrapping.
Yeah. Every day just needs high fun. It's also okay with me. Yeah. So back to that. So if my reputation is ruined and I still want to be in the NFT space, honestly, what I do is that with the knowledge that I have gotten from my projects and the startup, I would honestly start an NFT project again with all the knowledge I have and just be undoxed. Just be a hidden person behind the screens because nobody has to know who I am. They just need to see the quality of work that I produce.
Mm.
Really my reputation is that bad, maybe I'll get maybe like my fiance or what to represent as the face of the project, and then I will just feed her all the information and come up with the whole project and give her all the credit. You know, she's a pretty girl, probably you'll sell better, I don't know. That will possibly be my plan for that whole 30 days and build up a whole project and just hide the whole time.
Nice. I mean, like, it's just like, you know, to be honest, right, if let's say you for me, I don't smoke, but you guys smoke, right? So even to today, many people wouldn't have, if they wouldn't have known who the owner of Marlboro will be, right? In a sense, he this guy has been hiding behind the scenes. He wouldn't be out there, you know, doing media interviews like Elon Musk or Gary Vee kind of thing, right? He won't be sharing, how I built this cigarette empire, this nicotine empire, right? And he wouldn't have shared. No one knows, right? In a sense, unless if you Google it and probably, this CEO is this name and the founder is this name and whatnot. So, I totally agree with Ferris, man. I mean, when you say that, it just give me a spark. It's like, hey, man, this is what I would also do. I'll let people do the work and I'll share the knowledge and then I'll be the assistant and I'll be doing whatever, you know. And then after that, I'll be just assisting, guiding and all, and I'll be behind the scenes. And whenever there's an interview for this person, for this assistant or whoever that's helping me, I'll definitely, you know, let the person share whatever that I've shared with her or him, for example.
Yeah, just be a behind the scenes consultant.
Yes. Correct. Wow. Okay. Amazing. And before we end off, let me ask you guys, what's next for CryptoBinks? Can you share with us more about your Gen Z projects and what other projects that's coming up?
Okay. So our next collection, our V2 version 2 collection is called CryptoBinks Gen Z. And Gen Z will be our grand collection, where if you hold the NFTs, every week you will be unlocking a new utility for yourself and for your friends. And another thing with that is if you're already a Genesis holder, then there's going to be tiered benefits and tiered utilities that you can go to. Other than that, with CryptoBinks as an NFT collection, PFP, this is going to be our second and last collection. But in the far future, we'll also be doing CryptoBinks something else. And that is still brewing. And we are still, you know, working on that. But this is just the beginning of a very long and fun journey with everyone in the community. Crypto Khakis, the Bings, and the community, and all the other projects that we'll be collabing with.
Okay, awesome. So when will this Gen Z be out? Is it going to be very, very soon, or like next month, or what?
Yes, tentatively, it will be next month. It should be anywhere from the third week. Yeah, the third week onwards, you will be start to seeing our website links up everywhere, and you'll be able to go and get yourself guest listed, which is like our term of saying allow list, you know, the Singaporean way guest list, right? You know, you go in,
okay,
you have a guaranteed spot, get yourself all guest right. listed. And one alpha that I can say on behalf of CryptoBanks is the guest list is really worth it, so just go get it. So we've been planning some stuff.
Okay, we made cool. it so that getting the guest list is really worth your while compared to having to mint public. And we'll be also doing a live mint event. Tentatively, it's going to be in a very atas place. So look out for that. Yeah, I hope everyone can come down and, you know, enjoy our utilities with us during our live mint.
All right. Wow, I'm really looking forward to the live mint, and you guys stay tuned for their official launch of Gen Z, and they will be sharing more of their information in their space, in their Twitter, in their Telegram, in their Discord channel. Just go and follow them. Okay, so you can follow them on Instagram and Twitter as CryptoBanks. Go and look for them, and you will be amazed at what they are creating and what they are having in their Gen Z. Because I think, you know, I believe it's gonna be something amazing and something that's gonna be very valuable. Because when I see what these guys are doing, I know they know their stuff, and they are really, really working their ass off for you guys, for this CryptoBanks community. Wow, I'm really looking forward to it. And with that said, I would like to wish each and every one of you, you know, a great week ahead. And of course, you know, thank you guys for always supporting the Legacy Show. And I just saw that, you know, people from US, UK, people from Nigeria were watching, even Elim Chu was watching, and even people in Australia was watching, and even someone from Africa is watching right now. And I would like to thank all of you, you know, for supporting the show. And wherever you are, go follow CryptoBanks and go and check it out, and stay tuned for the next episode of the Legacy Show. So with that, take care, see you, and goodbye.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Legacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Legacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right, so with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you, and stay tuned for another episode of the Legacy Show.